Blog Talk Radio.
Mouthpiece. I'll be discussing state and grassroots as they relate to the Alabama Democratic Party with Robert Avery Sr. The Alabama Democratic Party is in a very fragile state. The overall health of the party is sad until we make some hard choices and have some direct discussions. This decline will continue. It seems the Democratic leaders want to have a revival before they heal the wounds of the division. Okay, good morning, Mr. Avery. How's it going?
Good morning. Everything is going great. How about with you?
It's going good. Just getting out here trying to keep the message on. You know, I get a lot of flack back, but I'm asking a very important, serious question for a select group of people that I'm talking about what they are really talking about and what they're really concerned about. So I'm not really worried about any other politician across the state. They're going to hear it. And what I'm hearing and what a lot of people are upset about is the idea. Sue Bell Cox, she might have done a lot of great things for the Democratic Party, but a lot of people at the base, the hardcore grassroots, they cannot see themselves voting for somebody who endorsed Jeff Sessions. That's just the plain facts. And Democrats across the state are going to have to come to grips with that. And at the African-American leaders, they're going to have to decide whether they're going to turn the other cheek on this slap in the face they just got.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure that the leaders across the state is going to turn the other cheek. I'm hearing the same thing that you're hearing. And you know, we have issues with Sue Bell Cobb because of that. Again, you know, like you say, politics bring about strange bedfellows. So hopefully we're going to be able to sort through all of this confusion and mess during the next several months and come up with a candidate that we can support.
Yes, I truly believe that. And what I'm kind of a little disturbed about, and I've been talking to some people about it, and I've even had our white friends and family and colleagues also say the same thing. This is just the idea of her and some of the people pushing her is just absurd. We can't do that. This is the wrong message to send. And she's had every opportunity to pull that back because she should realize how this, you know, hurt the black community, that she would do that, hurt black Democrats, that she would do that. She should have saw that by now And then that's not even to add all this scandal Jeff Sessions is caught up in, and she's still standing by Jeff Sessions. I mean,
well, you know,
I think more, in my opinion, that's why I've been raising the question and asked the question, is we need to look at Sue Bell ties to the private prison industrial complex in Alabama. She's a former judge supported by an investor, Jeff Sessions, of the private prison industrial complex. So what are her ties? You know,
again, you know,
I want to know.
Well, not only should the black community be asking those questions, the community, the state of Alabama should be asking those questions. Like you just said, her ties to Jeff Sessions, and you know, I'm learning more and more about Jeff Sessions every day, and every day I learn more, the more I find out that I dislike him because of his politics. You know, here's a guy who denied talking to the Russians and denied meeting with the Russians, and then every other day you come to find out that he did meet with the Russians, he did talk to the Russians. And I have some strong concerns about how this country is going. I can remember when I was young a few years ago, if somebody said something about anybody in collusion with the Russians, or they thought they were, they'd run them out of this country in split second. But now it seems
exactly
to be okay, and Jeff Sessions is one of those leading characters. So I have some real concerns about Jeff Sessions and anybody who supports him.
Well, the grassroots got those same concerns, and especially Sue Bell Cobb. She's of that same to me, I don't really though, to be honest with you, myself, I'm not speaking for anybody else that comes on my show. I don't see any difference between Sue Bell Cobb and Jeff Sessions except for the R and the D. You know, he's got the R in front of his name, and she's just disguising her R with the D. I want to look at this like this, like you said, the mortal enemies of the United States has been the Russians. I mean, we fought the Cold War. We had the space race. We had the technology race. I mean, for them to do all this hatred we saw toward Obama for 8 years, I mean, is it that they hated Obama, this first black man, so much that they'll take this white guy with the European racist mindset? You see, that's, he gets along with Russia, and he gets along with people like Sessions, who get endorsed by people like Sue Bell Cobb, because the Russians are that deep, deep Eastern European white supremacy mindset. That's exactly what it is, and they agree with that talk. You look at all the connections Trump's got under him, and the people, all this white supremacist stuff. Russia is leading the world in that belief, you know, which I tell people is garbage, because half of human history was already over with before anybody even knew what a European was. So I don't pay any attention to the white supremacist type of idea, because it's just ridiculous. History slaps that all in the face.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
that they teach us in school, you know, they teach us such and such discovered mathematics, but you go and read this person from Greek, you go read his history. He studied in Africa. So how did he invent something and he learned over here? The whole white supremacist idea is ridiculous, because that's why Trump loves the uneducated voter. That's why they railroaded Siegelman with the education lottery. They want to keep the people stupid while they indoctrinate them in this really basically bullshit white supremacist belief. I mean, it's ridiculous. No one in the world believes in white supremacy, but the white supremacist.
Well, let me say this. You know, it's very interesting that you talk about, and education is the key. And of course, you know, I'm working with a group now that's trying to bring back education, not taking tests. And that's what they're doing now with our children. They're teaching our children how to take tests as opposed to educating our children. We were talking the other day about the average 9th or 10th grader, if you ask them what part of the country Montana is, point to it on a map, they wouldn't know whether to go to the East Coast or the West Coast or South or North. And that's a sad situation, because we're not educating our children. We're just teaching them to take a test. And if Montana ain't on the test, then they don't know anything about it. But let me just tell you what's happening here. And you're right. Trump, and not only Trump, but the people in general, and I say people in general, I'm talking about white people in general, they don't want to educate the masses, because if they can keep the masses, like you said, unknowing and dumb and dumbed down, then they can always control. We have a situation here in our city right now. We just were able to get rid of our superintendent, and we've had a perpetual situation going on. We've got one elementary school in this city, in the whole system, that's passing. And when I say passing, it's, you know, like 90-some percentile. That's where those students are. It's 99% white. The doctors, the lawyers, and the professional people, children, attend this school. It's in their neighborhood. When they get to the middle school, and the middle school takes in two other elementary schools, but what they do to those young people coming out of that elementary school, they track them. They put them all over in the same class. The white kids and the black kids coming from the other two elementary schools, they keep them out of that group with those kids. So they track those kids all the way through middle school. Then they take them when they get to the high school. We got one high school now. We used to have three. They merged into one. But we still actually have two, because what they do with those kids coming from that area, they track them when they get to the high school. They keep them in the same classes, put them in AP classes, and the whole nine yards. So, in other words, we got a system within the system. And
basically what it is, mm-hmm. basically what that sounds like is just some of the Klan that has took off their hood and robes and put on suit and ties.
Absolutely.
And passing these laws and doing these things right here. It's a perfect way to keep segregation. It's still segregation. That's segregation. They're
yeah,
just hiding
but,
it. They're practicing it. They're still doing it.
But, and the sad part about it is, again, it's, you know, yes, it's a race issue, but it's also a poor people issue, because the white kids who come
yes.
from the other section of town are caught up in that. And thus, we're not educating black kids, and we're not educating certain groups of white kids. And that certain group, like you just said, is there still trying to be on top and still have that mentality that we're in charge, and we're going to give our
kids a head start ahead of your kids.
Absolutely.
Just like with the Alabama lottery. You know that it was a certain segment in Alabama. Alabama is racist, and we can have some of the ugliest, but not all white people in Alabama are racist, because I've met some very good ones who love the community. But there was a certain segment when Sigmund tried to pass that lottery, they wasn't going to stand for black children being able to get an equal education with their children. That's what it was all about. It wasn't about, you know, the gambling aspect of it. It was educating the children on an equal level. They was not going to stand for that.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but my state senator, Larry Means, was one of the senators that was on trial for doing that time, taking money supposedly from the gambling interest. And, of course, you know, he went to trial, and they were all found not guilty. But let me tell you what people don't know, or what people wasn't talking about. The Wind Creek, the Cherokee, whichever group that is down there, I forget which Indian tribe that is. They sent a half a million dollars to the Republican National Committee to during that election time. Then the National Republican Committee sent $500,000 back to the state Republican group. The guy who is now our senator, the Republican who was running against Larry Means about anti-gambling, almost $50,000 of that money. He got more money than any other Republican across the state out of that $500,000 that the Poarch Creek Indians sent back to help keep gambling or help keep the lottery out, because
they wanted
to be the only one doing the gambling.
Yeah, let me take it back to the Don Sigmund case. Jack Abramoff, the money man who was handling the money, he got $20 million from the Indian gambling interest out of Mississippi, and he
Absolutely.
Disseminated that money through these Alabama Republicans to stop the gambling. Because in Jack Abramoff, you know, he got into the trouble too, but he got away with it basically more than what really happened. But he ended up bringing $20 million, and he wrote in his book, Capital Punishment, that he got the $20 million to war game Don Siegel. They got $20 million to just run a relentless campaign to jail him. And like you said, that money, once it came to the Republican Party, it disseminated down through to people like what you're saying, what happened with this guy. I mean, it was very, very shady.
Well, and you know, so people need to understand that, you know, that party that's supposed to be God's party next to God, that's out there trying to fight all the corruption and how corrupt they are, taking money from the gambling interests, in the bed with the Russians, and the whole nine yards. And then anybody who's associated with it, and we'll get back to the local politics, if Jeff Sessions and Sue Bell Cobb is associated with that, then we don't need no parts of either one of them.
No, we sure don't. And I know some people, there's been a lot of rumbling among the grassroots and community activists and just people in general as they know more. You see, in the Democratic Party in Alabama, I mean, we got a nationwide fight with Jeff Sessions. And the Democratic Party in Alabama, they've always been quiet. I mean, it's like when Don Siegel got railroaded, a lot of Democrats took their tails and ran. And to this same, and until this day, none of them really has spoken out. That's why I'm upset. When all this corruption was happening with Don Siegel, all this corruption happening in Montgomery, I did not hear our black leaders at a state level really going after them. And we so worried about Alabama Press is bought, Alabama Press is this. We need to invest. I don't care if it's the black wing or the whole Democratic wing. We need to invest in our own, sort of like telecommunications, our own communication systems. They might control the newspapers, but we can set up internet groups. We can set up radio blogs like this. We can start getting our message out better. We're doing a piss-poor job at getting our message out. Now, they just had this thing going on with, I think, Daniels was the keynote speaker talking about how they can empower grassroots voices, something like that, but I don't know if they really are interested in doing the real work it takes to help people at the grassroots level. Those people need funding. That funding need to be, see how the Republicans got that money and they disseminated it all down through the ranks so they could use it the best way they can see fit. You cannot run an organization where you want to oversee every penny and hog on and hold on to every penny. You got to put that money out there to the people that's walking street to street and knocking on door to door.
Absolutely, and I think that's where a lot of us fail to realize, you know, where we've got to invest and where we've got to focus, and we've got to focus on that door to door. I can remember back in the day, of course, during the civil rights movement and the struggles, you know, it was those young people like myself and others who were out there, those foot soldiers,
yeah,
who were out there in the streets rallying people. Were able to make those changes. And you can't sit behind the desk and you can't talk about it and not get out there and do some action. We've got to have people, like you said, knocking on doors. And we got a golden opportunity.
People who
now
live in that community. Yeah, people who live in that community, not just breezing through. We got to try to empower every leader in every community.
Absolutely.
In every district. And for us to sit up here and have to vote, I hope when 2018 rolls around, I hate I don't get another ballot where there's 10 to 15 Republicans running unchallenged. That's crazy.
And
you got a serious
problem
when you see that. When you see that, that is a very serious problem that starts at the top.
Well, I can remember when I first got elected to public office back in 86. We had some growing pains because that was the first time we had a mayor council form of government. And there were seven council members and, of course, the mayor. And all of us was new, the seven council members and the guy who got elected mayor was new. And there were a lot of joshing, and I don't want to say bickering, but there were a lot of joshing because we were all new and we were all trying to establish ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And people used to complain about the bickering and stuff and the back and forth. And one of the council members said something that made a whole lot of sense, and I've always remembered that. He said, you got eight people up there. And if all eight of us agreed on everything, then you're paying seven people for nothing.
True.
And so people need to understand, you know, you diversity brings about change. And so I don't look at diversity and what's happening as a negative. I look at it as a positive. Because if we don't stand up for the issues and stand up for what we believe in, then we just might as well move over to Russia, where Putin is in control of everything. He tells you how to think, what to think about, when to think about it, and what to do and how to do it.
And that's why I say, as representing the grassroots, if you vote for if a African American votes for Fubel Cobb in the primary, you might as well vote Republican, straight Republican ticket in, you know, in the general election. But this is just totally, this is totally not what we want. I'll just be glad when she gets out of the way and we can get down to the other candidates that are there. But she's just wasting her time, wasting her money. African Americans that know about Jeff Sessions, the more they know about him and the more they ask questions about her sentencing from the bench toward African Americans, okay, how was that? Have we looked at that? Is she really a friend of the African American community? I'm not accusing her to be racist or anything, but we have an incarceration problem here in Alabama, and African Americans, if she's asking for their vote, we demand to know what was her sentencing record like compared to African Americans, to other races, or compared to low level drug offenders. I mean, was she filling up these jail cells with low level drug offenders instead of putting them in some type of treatment or job programming? We need to really know that before we can go out and vote for Fubel Cobb. I'm just sorry. They're not going to skate by it. They're not going to be quiet about it. They're going to have to answer these questions, or is she going to get her behind embarrassed at the primary polls?
Well, but you got to understand that, too, and you hit the key to primary. Now, the opposition knows who is the strongest of the candidates. And so what they do, they jump up at the last minute and try to put someone else in there to try to create some confusion and hopefully be able to tear down the person who really needs to be there, who really has the black community and poor people and the state of Alabama at heart. And so you put somebody in there who you think that they might be able to pull votes or get lucky enough to get in a primary and win a primary, and then, you know, you go back to the same old thing. I wouldn't put it past the Republican Party putting Fubel Cobb or anybody else in that primary.
And I wouldn't put it past our leaders to support that, because they have been going along to get along for so long. I mean, man, the Democratic Party, I mean, that was a bad showing that we had as a party when the Republicans were going on through this scandal. We didn't have any leadership. We just didn't have it. That was a moment where we could have rallied the troops that whole entire time. The same thing, that's why I said it would be good to have our own media or communication type thing. You see how what's happening with Trump. The media, basically, that's why he hates the media. That's why he talks that fake news. They're the watchdogs. We're the watchdogs of everything. We're supposed to report on these things, so we're supposed to ask these questions. But we didn't do that during that whole mess that happened in Montgomery. So they sent a few people to jail. They're going to clean a few people up. They're going to go back to business as usual. And our leaders didn't make one piece of capital off of that.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I've been able to attend.
I know I'm not wrong, but I hope they change course.
Okay, because I'm going to say I've been to several meetings and I've been encouraged about some of the grassroots meetings that I've been to. People, both black and white, who I had no idea had interest in politics and government. And I've run across those individuals and know now that they're interested, they're concerned now, because, again, you know, sometimes you, as my grandfather used to say, you have to hit the mule upside the head with a 2x4 to get his attention. And I think this is what has happened to a lot of folks. with this with Obamacare and this new plan that the Republicans are trying to put in place. And so I'm very optimistic about the fact that a lot of our folk are listening, because now it concerns them. You know, mom and them finna get put out the nursing home. They got to come back. Mom and them don't have no groceries anymore because they finna cut them off the food stamps and the whole nine yards. So I'm encouraged. I hate that these things are happening, but I'm glad they're happening because it's getting the attention of those individuals who need to be involved in the political system.
Yeah, and the same ones who need these programs. Need these programs, once they see the absurdity of trying to end and cut these programs, their lifeline, once they get involved and get activated on that, then they take a closer look at these other issues because they're already motivated. They start paying attention to these other issues too. So that is a good sign. It's a good sign to see more. Like I said, before anybody wants to put that out there, I'm all for women running. Women are strong. You know, I'm an African American, and if you go back to Africa, we don't have the European mindset that it's all about the man. It's all about the mother. If you know, in Africa, if you know that. So I'm all for women empowerment and women running for office. But Sue Bell Cobb is not the answer. Sue Bell Cobb is part of the problem. She's part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, we've got to do our homework. And of course, again, like I say, I've been encouraged. I was in a meeting in Montgomery a few weeks ago, one of the organizations that were meeting, and she was there. And the rumbling and the mumbling came up about her support of Jeff Sessions. So people are getting engaged. And when they're getting engaged, they're listening and they're learning. And that's what we got to do. You got to keep doing what you're doing on the radio. I've got to keep doing what I'm doing when I speak to groups, and I think that way we'll get the word out there and try to get people.
I supported Sue Bell Cobb when she had ran for office. So they can't say that this is. I had people come on and say I just hate Sue Bell Cobb. No, I don't hate her. I don't know her enough like that to hate her. You know what I'm saying? And because I said I hate her politics, because when I heard when she endorsed Jeff Sessions, I really didn't think nothing. I would expect that out of one powerful, rich white person to another powerful white person ascending on to office. I kind of expected that. You know, I expected that. So that wasn't a big deal to me. What was a big deal is when she explained her reasoning. See, she was scheduled to go over there in Madison, give a speech, and then me and some more people, we stumped our feet about it, and then she postponed it. She canceled it. But then when she came back, we both thought that she was going to come back with a valid answer, but her answer was she endorsed him because he supported her programs when she adjudged. So I'm like, let's look at these programs. What would a Republican like Jeff Sessions support of a Democrat? So we need to really take a look at that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And like I said, it's probably some program that probably took advantage of somebody that came through her course. But I would like to know, what are we going to do about the mass incarceration? I haven't heard her say much about that. She was a judge. And another thing that offended me was she said she endorsed him because of that. But look at everything Jeff Sessions had done for civil rights, voting rights, prison reform, police reform, and voting, you know, voting equality, all of that. And she put all of that to the side just to endorse him because he supported her programs. So that lets you know if she can get somebody powerful to rub her on the back, she'll throw you away. And that's exactly what she did to African-Americans here in Alabama. That's not a good reason, because he supported her programs when she was a judge, to throw away everything this man has done against us in civil rights.
You can't be a one issue.
That's how she values us. That's how she values us.
You can't be a one issue candidate, whether you're running for a dog catcher or whatever, and then think, I'm going to support you. I might be anti-whatever, and you might be, you know, anti on that, but then you got pro-everything else against me, No. I can't support you. Like I said, I'm not just a one issue. I'm not just a one issue supporter. I've got to know what your overall program is, what you stand for. Now, again, like I say, I know we ain't going to be 100% in step, but I don't want it to be 99% against me and 1% for me that I'm going to support you. That just don't work that way.
Exactly. No, I don't. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. Because she should have known, she does know, you know, his reputation and the policies he's fought and tried to push for that would hurt, you know, minorities, especially minorities of color. Now he's ascending to the biggest judicial office. He loves to lock people up. And we got a problem with incarceration here in Alabama. As a matter of fact, we're about to build these super max prisons. Don't you who you think they're gonna put in there? I just want to ask the black community, when they build these super prisons, who do you think going in there? It's gonna be a bunch of African Americans and minorities for low level drug offenses.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what it's gonna be.
And you know
exactly what it's gonna be. So we gotta be on the watch. We gotta, and like I said, I'm not at this point. I'm not supporting any candidate. I don't want Sue Bell Cobb to get it. That's the bigger threat. She's the biggest threat out of all of them I heard that was running. She's the biggest threat to the African-American community. That's why I'm standing up. But would you? I'm going to have you back on the show again. Definitely. Right, anytime you got some free time, because I'm going to start sharing these shows and more of my platforms and try to get them out there, because this discussion needs to happen. So
let me say this right quick before we end. You talked about her he's supporting her on the prison reform or whatever he did. What about
She just said no, not prison reform. He supported her on her programs when she was a judge. I guess she had some kind of diversionary type. I looked at it. It was something about divorced parents or something. That's why I said she probably was just taking advantage of some more poor people, which most of these programs
do. No, but I'm just saying, though, even no matter what the issue was, what about now when he's doing voter suppression all across this country and taking back civil rights? You know, even if he did then, now she has an opportunity to come back and say, because of this, this, and this, I no longer support him.
She's not going to do it.
That's what a real person would do.
She's not going to do it. She's that in deep with him. She's not going to do it. How she's standing by her man lets you know how deep she is in with her man. And like I said, Jeff Sessions and Sue Bell Cobb are the exact same person. One of them is proudly wearing they are, and another one has they are disguised as a D.
Okay, then, Mark. I hear you.
I'd love to have you back on the show, man. We definitely got to come back and talk about this again.
Be glad to. Just let me know.
I sure will. I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you.
All right, thank you.